this off for everyone, too? Sweet. What's up, everybody? It's the Fantasy Football Breakdown Podcast, episode 78, and I am excited for this one. Of course, I got my boy DFF underscore swag on there, but we got a special guest today.
You're swearing in front of the lady.
Did I already do that?
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't even notice it. And again, let's go ahead and do it. We got Brandon Marion Lee here with us today. What's up?
What is up? I'm so excited. It's football season.
Oh, yeah. Very stoked. Thanks a ton for coming on.
My pleasure.
You sound super stoked, swag.
Hey, I'm always
stoked. Awesome. So we got some buy low wide receiver stashes, stuff like that to talk about, plus anything else we want to get into, because we had some little pre-show there that was fun. So I do like to make sure we get into that, but maybe that'll bleed in a little bit. So, Swags, I'm going to let you jump right off with this. I know you're not ready for it, and that's what I like to do. Freak you out. So I want you to hit me with the first one. Don't hit me with that one. Not yet. You got to save that one.
Don't hit you with that one.
Not the one. Not the one that you just put an article out on. Let's save that one for at least a minute.
No.
You got one more in there.
All right. So how about Jordan Matthews? Julian Edelman's out 4 games probably with that suspension. Him out of the slot with Brady. I'll take it all day. And you know I'll take that all day.
Yeah, you pick another one you wrote an article on. All right, cool.
Well,
come on. All right, Brandon, do you like Jordan Matthews? Do you see that, you know, happening there? Is it because of the Edelman 4 games, or
maybe I'm intrigued to see what Braxton Berrios does, the guy that they just drafted as the replacement for Edelman, frankly. So if he can kind of pull it together, I think there's a possibility he gets some playing time as well. But I do like Jordan Matthews, certainly. You know, the guy actually, you know, wasn't terrible and had a ton of promise when he was coming into the league. And we kind of forget all of that because of the very weird path that his career took. But we don't forget it about Sammy Watkins. It's amazing who we decide is okay and who's not okay based off of underperforming. But I guess Jordan Matthews is the guy we all hate. But certainly under these circumstances, I don't know how you can hate him that much. His ADP is so low, you definitely have to give him a chance.
Perfect. No swags like some J-Mac.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of guys that could be a replacement on that team for Julian Edelman. I think they've been trying to find him for a few years. Man, with Jordan Matthews' size and the way he can play out of the slot, I don't know, man. I don't know. His yards per reception, based on kind of what Brady does for that possession, I think they're just going to work amazingly together. And he's only 25, I believe. Still pretty young. I think he could still be the receiver of the future for the team. You know, but I mean, and I like Berrios as well, don't get me wrong, but I'm super high on Matthews, so it's hard to get me off it.
And I think that's fine. I don't think the Chris Hogan thing is happening, though. This was the exact same conversation we had last year. And really, when he was healthy, he was on the field for 96% plus of the snaps. So it's not like he can be on the field anymore. His role is pretty clear and has been. And by the way, he was still a good wide receiver for fantasy purposes the majority of the season when he was healthy. So it's not like I'm saying he's bad, but I don't think he gets a bump per se. I think his role is what it is. And again, he cannot physically be on the field any more than he was last season when healthy. So I don't see that happening. So I'm with you. I think it could be Jordan Matthews. I think this is also a very interesting place for Rex Burkhead to get a little extra love. I know we're talking about wide receivers, but still, I think that's a possibility. And Rob Gronkowski is always the man. So in terms of what he can do, obviously that's going to be major. Unless he and Bill Belichick are breaking up, along with Tom Brady. We'll see what happens there. But
you had some interesting takes on your show, Her Fantasy Football, about Brady and what could happen, and compared him to Peyton and how quickly he fell off the cliff.
Yeah, you know, for me, my problem with Tom Brady is just how high he's ranked, and it is going to happen. Father Time is undefeated. There is going to be that point. And quarterbacks don't just kind of slowly devolve. It's usually like a cliff that they just fall off of, and we saw it most recently and most dramatically, obviously, with Peyton Manning there, and everybody was all in because he had these, you know, record-breaking seasons, and then it was just like, nada. The guy got benched for Brock Osweiler. Yep. I mean, it's just, like, mind-blowing. And by the way, should have been That's what's so crazy. That is how bad he was playing. Ugh. So the thing is that I'm not saying that that's what's going to necessarily happen with Tom Brady, but if it does happen, I'm not going to be surprised. And I do think they have to take some of this into account when they're like, you know, game planning for the season. And my own thing is that I just want him to be practicing, because I do want to see that he's not hitting that brick wall. And I do want to see him out there with people, not because he doesn't know the playbook or anything dramatic, or he's going to mm-hmm. lose his starting role. That's just absurd. I'm not trying to be an absurd person here. I'm just saying he's over 40 years old. I mean, I'm not a crazy right. person by saying that there's a little bit of concern there, and at least diversify. People are doing best balls now more than ever. Certainly people are promoting them over and over and over again. I've certainly done more drafts by this time in the season than I've ever done before. So just right. if you're doing that and you're getting Tom Brady every once in a while, that's fine. But just don't overcommit, because there are a lot of red flags.
I am 40, and sometimes I get concerned when I get out of bed.
Correct. So, yes. I mean, I'm closer like to 40 than you 20. Think. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I actually make this joke on Her Fantasy Football, too, where I have this beautiful Russian friend who is in fashion, and he is very funny. And when I was in my 20s, I met him, and he was in his 30s. He said something about not looking good, or I don't know, whatever. And I said, no, you look fabulous. He's like, I know. It just takes longer. And that's so true. Once you put a 3 in front of your age, you can look and do everything that you did in your 20s, no doubt. But it does take longer. Hangovers. Yeah. It just takes longer. I mean, everything just takes longer. So, and I feel this way about when older players get injured as well. It's just one of those things where, like, yeah, they can get back to it. It just takes longer. So yeah. That's how I feel about TB.
Nice. And if, like, to your point, maybe he doesn't need to be there, but Jordan Matthews, or we're going to see it from Berrios, they need that timing. They need that work with him. So I like those. And I think I just saw Berrios go in the 5th round of a rookie draft we did, and that was a 14-teamer. So you can get him super late still.
Yeah, in rookie drafts. I got him in a 4th round in a rookie draft of a 14-team league.
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
I think that's insane. It's insane value, because they took Julian Edelman and Wes Welker in those 5th, 6th, 7th rounds of their drafts too. So that is where they get these guys, because they're the only people that are interested, and they know it. So they just wait.
No, for sure. I like that. Why don't we stay in the AFC East there? And I'm not going to let you do it, Swags. Can we go to the Jets? We didn't talk about the Jets much at all last year, even to the point of hitting a Voldemort drop. Because we just don't want to do it, but I think it's time. I saw a tweet that you put out there about your boy Quincy Anunua. So is that that time?
Yeah, there was a cute little gif or whatever of him doing this crazy vertical jump, and I think that he's one of those people that you can get at the end of all your best ball drafts. So there's a possibility that he could be the wide receiver one on this team. I make a habit every season of targeting guys that are on teams that have a kind of muddled situation at the wide receiver position, and that there's a possibility that that person could emerge. Now, Anunua was out last season, and people were freaking out because he was so obviously going to be the number one wideout. And for some reason, now that he's back, no one's back on that train. It's bizarre. It's almost like, I mean, here we are, you know, Edelman was out all of 2017, and people are like, oh, yeah, no, he's for sure the guy. The year before, it was Jordy Nelson. Remember, he was out with ACL, and when he came back, I was like, he's for sure the guy. Quincy Anunua, people are acting like he's not even on the team. It's very weird. And especially when you consider the fact that Robbie Anderson, although the charges got dropped, you know, there seemed to be a lot of arrest issues.
He's still a crazy fuck.
You know, I mean, this is, I mean, whatever. I don't know. You know, there's that. There's Jermaine Kearse, who is kind of just steady Eddie, but never really flashy. So he's not someone that you're incredibly, you know, excited about. Terrell Pryor had that one big season. And it's just difficult. And he's not originally a wide receiver.
He could be their best quarterback option.
He could be. I think it might be Teddy Bridgewater. I think there's a possibility he starts this season. That quarterback situation is very interesting. He's killing it at camp right now. Yeah. People are loving Teddy Bridgewater over there. And I think Sam Darnold, you know, obviously is the future. There's no doubt about that. But I'm just saying that I think there's a possibility that it starts off with Teddy. I just think that there's a possibility that Quincy Anunua goes right back to where he was. And he is the comeback player of the year if he does so. Because it's not going to be Julian Edelman, since he's going to miss 4 games.
It's not that it's not a scary injury. It was a neck, right? That's what it got hurt. But to your point of those guys coming back like Jordan Edelman, those were ACL. So at least you're not worrying about that part of it. Not saying a neck isn't scary. But
and they're so much older. Jordy's old.
Right. Yeah, a new one's on the younger side than those guys when those injuries happen.
Yeah, you know, so Anunwa just turned 26 on the 31st of May.
Yeah.
So I don't make you hold. You mentioned, did you have something to say?
Nope, go ahead.
Yep. you mentioned muddled situations and whatnot. What about the Redskins there?
Oh, yeah, speaking exactly. Of
muddled, your boy Paul Richardson, Doxson, Crowder, yep. My yep. boy but Jordan boy Reed.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I love Paul Richardson. You guys talk about someone who has a solidified role. I'm also about solidified roles. He will be the down the field option. It is undisputed. And he's going to get that a lot. And before you say, but it's Alex Smith and all it does is check down. check Tyreek Hill's numbers, people. And you know what? Alex Smith's accuracy down the field is one of the best in the National Football League. It is not a... Now it's just like kind of this lore of Alex Smith being this like terrible fantasy quarterback that ruins it for everybody. That's just not true. He needs a downfield option, and I think that's definitely going to be Paul Richardson. And Paul Richardson, when healthy, is excellent and puts up a lot of fantasy points because all he needs is one big play, people. One big play, and he makes your whole week. And it'd be one thing if you had to spend a lot of draft capital on him, but he's a double-digit pick, you guys, in any format right now. So go get him. Who cares? If he's your 12th-round pick and it doesn't work out, oh, well.
Then go get Doxson.
I mean, why do you care? Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I feel like I said the same thing about Cooper Kupp last year. These are the other guys. Like last year, same thing. It was like he has the possibility of being the number one target on this team. In this case, same thing with Paul Richardson in terms of his role, because he's going to be down the field a lot. Now, they do have Jameson Crowder there. He's going to be obviously the safety valve. So I don't think he's quite going to be the number one. But his role is so solidified. I don't see anyone else even possibly competing with him. And I'm not going to talk about Jordan Reed. I have decided that this year, 2018 is the year that I put my foot down about Jordan Reed and Jared Cook. Don't talk to me about these people. I'm not going to talk about it.
Can we?
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, if he's healthy, because we have to what if all the time. But if he's healthy with Alex Smith, you don't like that, fan. Just like you might like one of those wide receivers with Alex Smith. I mean, look at Kelsey. Look at what he's done with Kelsey.
You just have to believe in health.
Oh, of course, of course.
You just got to take that side.
He's working out with Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens talks highly of him, but I mean, that's not a solid endorsement, I guess. But I don't know. I don't hate it. If he's healthy, I think he's a bargain for a tight end that could be a easy top five tight end if healthy.
Well, a top five tight end still sucks. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Tight ends are so terrible.
But
I mean,
the upside's honestly, there.
If you would have just started the tight end playing the New York Giants, you would have had the number four tight end in the National Football League in PPR scoring, just behind Kelsey, Ertz, and Gronk, all of which missed games, by the way, and still were the number one guys. There's just it's pathetic down there. And by the way, Greg Zuerlein outscored every single tight end, and I mean it just wasn't even close. In fact, seven different kickers in standard scoring outdid all of the tight ends. And that's insane. Okay. They're just very difficult to nail down.
Yeah.
So that's why we talk about format. So for me, if I'm in a best ball and I already have a decent tight end, let's say that I decide to go with like a Kyle Rudolph type and Jordan Reed is still sitting out there for me. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll pair them up. Okay. I can get sold on that. In DFS, there will be weeks where I'll say, yes. Because I'll know he's healthy.
For sure.
If I'm in season long, though, and I'm doing a snake draft, he's still never really going to, I think, be low enough for me to commit. And because in a season long league, I don't get the opportunity to, you know, get a ton of other options there because the good ones are all gone. And at least in best ball, I don't have to worry about when he's not there because the other guy will be there. So to me, that's the difference of your league settings. And that's why you always have to draft with that in mind.
Sure.
Can I get any love for Mr. Irrelevant Trey Quinn to the Redskins? Even a rookie draft? Will you do it later? You take
Berrios before some you'll love take Quinn, later.
I think there's a possibility. But this is also why I don't like to draft early. I'm a total stick in the mud, you guys. If you're asking me when I can do a draft, I say August.
week three.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know it's in vogue now, especially for rookie drafts. We're going to do it right away. Mm-hmm. But, like, look at Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry had been on another team, he'd be a, like, great fantasy asset. But because he's been on the Titans and this smash mouth committee, and now, even though they've changed their offense, supposedly, they bring in Deion Lewis on a monster contract for a running back. I don't, you know, now you got screwed because you didn't realize that if you took him before you even knew where he landed or if you took him before you knew.
But they had to bring in somebody.
But not on a big time contract for a running back. I mean, for a running back, he got paid.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't just bring in somebody. They could have brought in somebody, of course. But they brought in a guy that they were like, oh, no, man, we really believe in you. I mean, but if you look at Derrick Henry's numbers, he's very big play dependent. And it's very up and down as to he either gets you 25 yards or he gets you like one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredibly difficult as a real football coach to depend upon. And that's what we saw, in my opinion.
I think he just needed the touches last year too, though. I mean, if you take away, he had less touches than Murray and still had more yards than Murray. He had one less touchdown, but I think he needs some work, you know?
But if you look at the play-by-play, the problem was he never got 5 yards, you know?
Sure, yeah.
he was either getting stuffed
and then he had that 75-yard run, and
right.
Yeah, I mean, with the Jags, he was hideous that game until he had that one big play, that one big catch. That was the only play that he had. I think he got like 28 yards on 20 touches. It was nuts. So, I mean, I think that we envision – Hunter Henry as the guy that we see on the highlight reel. We don't envision him the way that NFL coaches do, which is in the trenches every play. And so I'm a little bit worried. That's for sure. I think so that guy is going to be on Lewis. How do you imagine them
using the backfield? Like not necessarily even for fantasy points or who do you want, but how do you think they'll do that?
I mean, Deion Lewis is the DeMarco there and gets the majority of the touches still. And Derrick Henry keeps the same role.
Yeah. I think it might be a little closer. I mean, listen, you should fantasy players should have known that like starting Hunter Henry was always big play dependent because the guy was never on the field for more snaps than DeMarco Murray until the last game of the year when DeMarco Murray was out and one other time where he played in 2% more. If you actually looked at the snaps, it was very obvious that DeMarco Murray was the guy that was on the field all the time. And so it was very difficult to play him week in and week out. And yet people would call me and be like, should I start him or Deion Lewis? Who, by the way, Deion Lewis was killing it in New England last year. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
For sure.
So I would say that I think it's going to be pretty split and people aren't going to like that. I think Hunter Henry will continue to be a very flashy, awesome player to watch on the highlight reel. But for whatever reason, Tennessee is just not going all in on this guy. And I feel like this is, I hope he's not like doing the Lamar Miller. Remember in Lamar Miller in Miami, everyone's like, he just needs more touches. You know, he just needs more touches. And then he got more touches and we were like, what happened? So I'm a little worried because if you get that many more touches, then that big burst, those big plays sometimes go away. And if those big plays aren't there, I'm worried. Now, this could all get, again, this is why I like to drop in August. Yeah. This could all get wiped away when I see him at camp. It could be like, I'm like, yes, preseason. I look at him and I'm like, yep, you know what? He's definitely going to be the guy. But for now, what I saw last season, I think there were some red flags. And I think ignoring them is going to be a little perilous.
You'll take Deion over Derrick Henry, so, is what you're saying.
If you based on ADP, based you on can ADP, get Deion Lewis way lower.
Yeah, I agree based on ADP. Sure. But as on Fantasy Snacks, I think they're going to release that someday. hopefully they're listening. We'll get this out. And they asked me where I had Derrick Henry, and I had to think about it. I haven't done much of my personal rankings yet. They both had him all ready to go. But I put him around 12, and when I look at who I would have below him, I don't feel bad about it. And it's not final or anything, but I'm saying it here. So I feel pretty good about it. Yeah.
So you're high on him then.
I mean, I think they're both going to be viable. I agree with everything you said. I think that Lewis is a better value based on ADP. The dude is 27 years old, I believe. I think he's going to be the third down back. He's going to get a lot of that. And I think that they want to put Henry into that Murray role.
First time Deion Lewis played 16 games last year, right? I think something like that.
And the injury history can't be Corey Davis as much in that passing game. I think they're going to run it.
I think they're going to use Corey Davis more.
I hope you're right. I do. I do. I love him.
Yeah, so why don't we turn this back into a wide receiver show?
There you go.
So talk about Titans wide receivers. Is there anybody worth it other than Corey Davis? Or you can both just...
Rashard Matthews has gotten pretty cheap because of Corey Davis. You can go grab Matthews pretty cheap.
Yeah.
You can grab him for like Doug Martin.
That's yeah. I'd rather have Matthews.
Back to running backs?
Yeah.
It's my turn, damn it.
Yeah, I think I'd only be interested in Corey Davis, Rashard Matthews. Marcus Mariota still has accuracy issues. I know people are all over that, but
you both see big Corey Davis years.
I don't know if I'd go with big, but it's gonna be bigger.
Be much smaller.
It was definitely a letdown in 2017, but Marcus Mariota was a letdown in 2017.
That's true.
I mean, all were. And by the way, there were signs with that. I didn't have any Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston in my life, and the reason why is because of their accuracy issues. This is also why I like Baker Mayfield better than a lot of other people, because I love accuracy, and accuracy is a really good predictor as to how you will be successful in the National Football League, because accuracy isn't something that you just have. It's something that's worked upon, so it also shows work ethic. There's no one that's just like, oh, you know what, a pinpoint accuracy, no problem, and I don't practice. That just doesn't happen. So, but you can just be athletic and be able to like scramble yourself out of things and do whatever.
And that's just it. For me, I think the last couple of weeks I've came to the conclusion I've had to submit, and I like Corey Davis a ton more than I like his situation and that's my problem. It's not that's Corey fair. Davis isn't my problem. It's the situation and how much is Mariota going to pass it? How many red zone targets are going to be there? That's my problem with Corey Davis. It's not Corey Davis.
Absolutely. And that's why I was out on Joe Mixon last year too, because I was like, I don't care about our conversation with Joe Mixon, but that offensive line is putrid. That's why I'm worried about Houston. That's why I'm worried about Deshaun Watson. That's why I'm worried about, the offensive line is that bad. It's really hard to overcome, and you can't sit there and even blame the player that's trying to overcome it. It just is a reality that you have to embrace as a fantasy player and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to let someone else let that player blow up on their team. If he blows up, great. You know what? I at least I did my research, and I have a foundation for why I faded this guy. Mm-hmm, but, you have to decide. Those are the tough decisions that you're making as a fantasy player, for sure.
Yep.
At least since he upgraded their offensive line, Texans did nothing.
I mean, barely. I mean, they got a new center. I mean, I don't know. It's not that good still.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but a rookie isn't exactly like getting me giddy. And they did a little bit of tinkering, but no one was like, not
going to blow decent offensive lineman from the Bills. I don't know. It's better. I'll take that. It's better.
Yeah.
Nope, I guess not.
I mean, my other problem is like the Giants, they upgraded everywhere, but these guys have no idea how to play together. No one is from the team. So it's like, okay, and half of the offensive line, job is chemistry and rhythm and being together on things. And these people don't even know each other. They're like just, playing, getting to know you games in the locker room. Like, what's your name again? I mean, I don't know. This is just, it's a little worrisome to me. So for them, they at least got like quality players. The Cincy players are just kind of like, meh.
That's my analysis, you don't by need the rest of it. That's Cincy, meh.
How about, so on her fantasy football, we got to say that more because we didn't lead with it like we were supposed to. So, if you want to get your show in there more and more, just say her fantasy football.
Yes, but, and Fantasy Alarm. I do videos for Fantasy Alarms. So make sure to check those out as well, please.
Awesome.
And a serious show. If you might as well keep that.
So on her fantasy football,
we got them all in now. We'll get them together.
You started to compare Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, and Kirk Cousins. And
That's a Lions fan, by the way.
First of all, it's easily Stafford, but it got me to thinking. Because you made up a lot of good points about Roethlisberger, about how he's finally, it's his first year, not complaining about retirement.
Yeah.
And I agree. And that is probably a good reason why Pittsburgh went out and got Mason Rudolph. Just because, I mean, every year the dude, I don't know why Ben's complaining about that, first of all. I think that they did what the team had to do when they have a star quarterback every year saying he may retire. That's what you have to start to think about is your future as well. But anyway, to my point, do you think that with Rudolph and James Washington playing at the same school, they were kind of looking at their future that way as well. Like, that is what we're going to see for the future of the Steelers.
I think there's a very distinct possibility of that. I think we see Mason Rudolph as well this year, because when was the last time that Ben Roethlisberger played in 16 games?
Mm-hmm.
4 years ago.
Nice.
I don't know when exactly it's going to be, but yeah, I do think that that's possible. They like to have a lot of wide receiver options, and I'm going to say something, and I want it to go in one ear and out the other, but come back to you 2 years from now. But Antonio Brown is old.
Yeah.
No, what I mean is, it's, you know, he turns 30 July 10th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right around the, you know, so that, again, this year, I want it to go right through. But if you're playing Dynasty, or if you're in, you know, these are the things you need to be thinking about. And then, you know, let's talk about Ben Roethlisberger for a minute. Talk about another guy who's not young, 36 years old. Yep. And he gets hit all the time. He is not the TB12 type of guy who is able to do the quick release and get out of there. I mean, part of how he became so successful is that people would be tackling him,
mm-hmm,
three people at a time, and he'd still be able to throw.
He's a big guy taking big falls, big hits.
And by the way, amazing. That's not a knock on him. But yeah. I'm saying at 36, no wonder he talks about retirement all the time. I'm not trying to begrudge him that. That must be incredibly difficult. So, yes, of course they had to do that. In terms of fantasy points, you know, it's hard to not score fantasy points when you have Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, now Juju Smith-Schuster, what have you. But he managed to do just that. He actually didn't score that many fantasy points, and it still blows my mind. He was the 10th highest scoring fantasy quarterback in a year where all the quarterbacks were hurt.
Yeah.
So
what,
I don't.
What was Stafford?
So Stafford, sixth?
Yeah. See? 2 years in a row?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Kirk Cousins was fifth. And what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, listen, we say, well, how can he not score fantasy points with these guys on the field? But it's amazing. He somehow does that.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is his disastrous home and away splits. If you're playing best ball, you don't care, again. But if you're playing in a season-long league or in a dynasty league or what have you, you have to make decisions based on the fact that you cannot play this guy away even when he's playing the Browns. And that's not a joke. He had horrible games away against the Browns. So what do you do? How do you tackle that? Well, you either let him fall very, very, very low and then take him, and knowing that you're just going to have to stream borderline the entire season because you can't play him half the time. And then you can't play him when he's not playing, which is also at least one game a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go with a Matthew Stafford, who's not flashy, but he keeps scoring fantasy points, or Kirk Cousins, who now has a new home and a ton of weapons, and you're thinking to yourself, well, if I'm going to use the same logic for Ben Roethlisberger, why wouldn't I use that for Kirk Cousins? How many points was he able to score with no weapons? And that's intriguing.
Yeah. So, to drink here, his boy is James Washington, very admittedly. How are you feeling?
I had him.
What if, is he a good stash?
I had him as my rookie one wide receiver going into the draft, but obviously the draft killed me and I had to move him all the way down to 5, 6.
So high.
Can he get any love this year? I mean, will he get the kind of touches that Martavis Bryant / Juju were kind of splitting there? Does it even matter? Like, he's what, at best a fourth option when he's going to be on the field?
Martavis Bryant wasn't really getting touches until Antonio Brown got hurt. So unless Antonio Brown gets hurt again, I don't see a whole lot of touches there. Yeah, maybe. I think that you're right. I mean, his
draft stock is killed. Juju train. All aboard the Juju train. There.
I'm not really all aboard the Juju
is
train.
That hype too far?
Please.
That hype has gone too far for me. But I'm also, listen, I was the only person in the fantasy community who told people not to draft Martavis Bryant last year.
I don't know.
I was like, do not do it.
Yeah, I was with you.
I was like, that's crazy. There was no way Ben Roethlisberger. And here's the other thing. The same people that put Le'Veon Bell number one and Antonio Brown number one and then Martavis Bryant like number like 16 or something of the wide receivers were the same people who had Ben Roethlisberger outside of their top 12.
Yeah,
so I was like, that doesn't make mathematical sense. He can't possibly support three top tier fantasy options and then not even be a top 12 Because even not being one of the top dudes, he still was at least 10 this year. But, you know, I think Juju was a special anomaly that came out because of Antonio Brown's injury specifically at the end, too. Okay, because he had this monster game at the end there that really kind of inflated his stats. Up till then, actually, the number one wideout for rookies was Cooper Kupp. He only got beat out in the last week of the season when he was awesome. Benched.
Yeah.
Because they were benching everybody before the playoffs, so he was unable to compete at that point. But up until week 17, it was Cooper Kupp as the number one wide receiver of the season.
Mm-hmm. And I know we're talking a lot about 2018, but we also talk a lot about Dynasty. And you made the point of how old Antonio Brown is. So by the time that he is that so old that we don't want to talk about in a couple years, you've got Juju, and he'll be about only as old as Corey Davis at that point, maybe even younger. I'd have to look again. By the time he's, you know what I mean? By the time Brown's like 32 to 34, though, Juju's just a young pup still.
Yeah, and you know what's really crazy, and people are saying, but Antonio Brown's a freak, and he's amazing, and he'll keep playing, and you're like, yes, yes. I'm going to use this as a barometer. So Larry Fitzgerald is 34. And so there's 4 years
left. There's only been one Jerry Rice.
And
even at the end, we really shouldn't have saw it.
Well, it is what it is. But, you know, I love Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And Larry Fitzgerald is, like, the only thing that the Cardinals can hang their hat on. You know, this is it. But I do think that, you know, Antonio Brown hasn't gotten to the point where we have to move him inside or do anything crazy like we did with Larry. But Larry was able to make that transition. We don't know if Antonio Brown is going to make that same transition. So, you know, there's a lot of questions there. But, yeah, I think they didn't draft James Washington to do zero. I'll say that. So they will be using him in one way or another in terms of, like, how reliable he'll be. I don't know. We'll see how it does, you know, year one. And again, you know, Juju kind of had a wild rookie season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he had that, like, couple crazy weeks before hit. He
did anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had the suspension, he had the, like, insanity. So, I mean, you know, and he's really young. Like, yeah. I think Juju might be younger than James.
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah. I think it is true. So it'd be nice for them to be a cool tandem moving forward. And listen, they have 10 years of career left themselves, so that'd be great. But, yeah, I think for Dynasty, you're a little more enthusiastic than probably this year. But the good news about James right now is that you can get him at the very end. And if you are someone that likes to kind of, like, handcuff your wide receivers and you have Antonio Brown, just take him as your last-round pick. You can do that in best ball right now.
Yeah, your best ball at the end, like – you could probably do worse than James Washington, 15 round plus somewhere in there. So,
yeah.
How about let's go to Larry and the Cardinals. What?
Larry.
So how about Christian Kirk there? I mean, obviously we know what Larry is, and maybe this will be a little bit of quarterback talk too with Rosen, you know, kind of firing off and Mr. Glassman, you know, Bradford there, but Christian Kirk, can he be a viable two, you know, in that offense right away, or we still can see everything funnel through DJ. How do you see the Cardinals wide receiver / quarterback situation?
Listen, of course, David Johnson's incredible. He only had, I think it was 6 less yards than the Devontae Adams of the 2017 season when he was in 2016. Okay. Receiving yards. That's not even putting his, like, you know, over 1,200 rushing yards into perspective here. The guy's an animal. It's unbelievable. He's like gobbling up that field, like, oh my gosh. So I'm all about it. If I was a coach, I'd be like, let's just DJ this out. And then Larry's our safety valve. Great. Perfect. But I think that Christian Kirk has to be the number two there. What does that mean? Well, we're not quite sure because he's really the third option, but so was Juju. And the good news about Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen is that they can have a similar playbook and transition seamlessly. You know, they're both, you know, pocket passers. It's not like a whole lot of difference in the way that it's not like a Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson situation where you're like, I don't know how they're going to do a playbook with these guys. So the good news is that no matter who's the quarterback, even if they do make a change, I feel confident that it'll be the same play calling, that everyone else on the team will feel confident. I think they're preparing for a little bit of a switcheroo for injury or for play or for whatever. So, but Sam Bradford, I actually think, is an incredibly underestimated player. The guy, when he is healthy, is incredibly good. He was great, obviously, at the beginning of last season with the Minnesota Vikings. the guy like broke all sorts of records. He actually helmed one of the best college football teams of all time, one of the highest scoring teams ever. You know, it's been a long time, but he was Jeff Fisher'd. You know, he's got a lot going on, so yeah. I feel bad. But you know what? Jeff Fisher guys ended up being, you know, almost in the Super Bowl, both of them. But one of them ended up being the Super Bowl MVP. So do I think there's a possibility that he could, you know, surprise some people? Yeah, I think if Sam Bradford's there week one, I think we see a little Christian Kirk early. I think that it could get a little dicey with Josh Rosen because a lot of times with rookie quarterbacks, it's hard for them to get their second and third read. Sure. So that's going to be something that has to happen. But Josh Rosen is one of my favorite quarterbacks coming out of this draft class for sure. I just think he's the most prepared.
It almost seems like, from what I'm hearing, like Bradford's trying to help Rosen get ready for the job too, which, I mean, is going to help the locker room and everybody kind of buy into Rosen a little bit more. And it almost seems like Bradford's just submitting in a way.
Sam Bradford has made so much money.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. I would watch those games for that much money for sure.
He's fine.
Great seats.
He's fine.
He's going to be just fine. It's like, oh, what was that guy's name? He married the college reporter. Ponder. Yeah, Ponder. Oh my gosh. That guy has the best life. Right? I mean, he has this like great wife and kids. He was like this, you know, quarterback, then really a backup quarterback, made a gazillion dollars. He's just like chilling. Good for him.
Brock doesn't have it too bad either.
No. And Sam Bradford, he's 30 years old. You know, he's been hurt so often. You know, he's thinking about retirement. He's like, I don't know if I could do this anymore. But, you know,
For 20 mil, I will though.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, right. Oh, for 20 million, I get to like kind of transition into coaching. Cool.
Right. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Where I'll make $5 million a year after that.
Make more than the coach just before I coach.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing for Sam Bradford. Congratulations, man.
I do, real quick, I want to get it in because you said Oklahoma high scoring offense in college. I am wearing my Florida Gator shirt. He did lose to that team national championship. We don't really talk about that here, but when I get a Gator shout out, I'm going to get it in. I've had a couple beers, so there it is.
It's a good one. It's a good shout out.
All right. Swags, I think I'm going to let you do it now.
Is it that time?
I think you can talk KB for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
I can talk for 2 minutes?
I don't think No, Kevin Benjamin. I got to let you talk about at least 3 minutes, but you only get a couple. I don't know that her and I want to hear it, but I know you want
well,
to.
Well, she might not mind. I mean, how do you feel about Kelvin Benjamin? I'll ask you. Maybe I don't need to tell you.
I feel like he's free.
Yeah, exactly.
So the best, then I don't have a problem.
Exactly.
I don't have a problem with people staking their claims on people in double-digit rounds. I think we get very weird about critiquing picks in that range where it's like, no, you're throwing darts there regardless. So there's no reason. And I think that probably what you're going to tell us reasoning-wise is going to make sense. Yeah. So there's no reason to not try. And again, I think he is one of those examples of someone that if they could possibly be the number one guy, like what I was saying about Quincy Enunwa, mm-hmm. or like for me, I think Michael Gallup, I don't understand why no one understands that he's the number one person in Dallas. It's a very weird thing for me. I'm like, what's going on?
Everybody thinks Hearns. Hearns had that 1 year. Everybody thinks it's going to be him because of that.
Yeah, but it's been years, also new. Guys.
Right.
It's been years since I heard
with
you guys.
With you.
Gallup, please.
I don't understand. But, you know, listen, and by the way, if it doesn't happen, fine. I got him in the 12th round. Who cares?
And Kelvin Benjamin, he was halfway to 1,000 yards before he left Carolina last year in the 8 games he played with Cam. I don't know. I think he can be a low-end wide receiver 20. I made a toys for tot bet with somebody. I think he'll be a wide receiver 20 or better.
Yeah.
That's an easy spot to say.
If he's healthy. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah.
Kelvin Benjamin is like an inconvenient truth guy where, you know, he had so many seasons where people were like, he's not good, but he kept being at the top of the fantasy points. You know, you were like, but he keeps scoring fantasy points consistently.
Yeah.
You know, there's people like that, that just, it's not like when you watch the game, you think there's no way this guy is scoring fantasy points. Blake Bortles is my favorite of those. I love this guy. I mean, to me, Blake Bortles is just fantasy gold. just keep to it. But, you know, sometimes you just have to be like, all right, you know what? I'm taking this guy low enough where it's not pretty.
You like him a lot in your best ball. I like your best ball strategy too, by the way, your streaming strategy. That's kind of what I call it when you start grabbing those free guys towards the end. They're kind of the guys you would stream in redraft, but you grab them towards the end and you're still kind of streaming them, just waiting for, hoping for those ceilings. So before we get into the 2 minute breakdown, who are three streaming tight ends that you would want to grab in your best ball?
Ooh, streaming tight ends. Okay. Well, I am very fascinated with Gerald Everett and have been since last season. He was the first pick that Sean McVay made in the new era there for the Los Angeles Rams. They have very high hopes for him. They knew he was a rookie. We also had some injuries, what have you, but I think there's a possibility that he could be huge and you can get him in your last round of any best ball draft. I also really like Mike Gesicki. I think that they really like him in Miami with Adam Gase. They were trying to do it with Old Man River and it didn't work out. But I think that Adam Gase really does want to get back to utilizing that tight end. And people, because he's a rookie, they're out on him. And I understand that rookies typically don't have a whole lot of upside at the tight end position. But I think in this particular case, and Mike Gesicki was actually my favorite tight end coming into the draft too. So it was a really nice landing spot for him. I thought, okay, great. Yes. Is he a good blocker? No. Okay. Well, this is fantasy football. It's not blocking.
Yeah.
It's not blocking football. So whatever. I also think that possibly if we're going to go down the route with Jordan Reed, I think we have to point out that even like five rounds after that, you could take a dart throw on Tyler Eifert. And he, of course, is already hurt. But if there's one person who can score touchdowns, it's him. And so I think that for me, he's already fallen so low in his ADP that that's baked in. Okay, so there's a possibility he doesn't play anything at all. I mean, there's a possibility he doesn't play any football in the 2018 season, I'm sure. But if he does, he's going to score touchdowns. So at this point, why not?
How about a little Eric Ebron? Oh,
he's like the Blake Bortles of the tight ends, where you're like, just don't watch the game, man. Don't watch the game. Yeah, I think there's a possibility there. I still think that, you know, he has a lot of competition. I think Jack Doyle's an incredibly good outlet for whether it be Andrew Luck or Jacoby Brissett. And again, I'm not sold on Andrew Luck throwing college footballs right now and not having the confidence to throw.
He's got NFL high school balls. Yet. Come on.
Weighs like 2 pounds more max.
Like
two more pounds of air.
I feel like we all have to do this where we make a decision on someone that could be a huge player. And I think I said this earlier.
Yeah.
And just say, you know what? It's okay if I don't have them. Like I have to just let it go. And that's where I am with Andrew Luck. I just because also so he gets out there, and what? Is this going to be like a Tony Romo situation where he's finally back, and then he gets hit, and he's out again?
Right.
I'm not confident in anyone taking over a year to have the confidence to throw an NFL football again.
Started with the Nerf ball, then he soaked it in water and got a little heavier.
That's nothing against him as an athlete. It's just, for me, that's just too risky.
I'm with you.
Yeah, people are already like, "Oh, his ADP is going to skyrocket. Hope you got your shares in early." And I'm like, "Nope," and I'm fine.
Yeah, he's a bust. But,
well, just not the way I play fantasy. It just is too much for me. But you know what? This is why you have to know who you are. And again, actually, he is someone that I would rather take in a season long league where I could maybe get a replacement, and he's low enough. Than in a best ball where he could score me 0 points for an entire season. And if I don't have a quarterback that week, or, you know, the one quarter, you know, because of the buys or whatever else, that, you know, the one quarterback scores 3 points, I will not win that best ball.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, yeah.
Well, Brandon, how are you feeling? Are you stretched out and ready for this 2 minute breakdown?
I'm a little nervous, but, you know,
Jason, tell her what she's got coming.
All right. So, between Shane and myself, we came up with 12 questions. Let me count them. I'm not good at math. Yeah, it's only 12 this time because I cheat. I do like to cheat a little bit. Okay. You're going to have a two-minute timer that will start as soon as I finish asking the first question.
Okay.
Shane's going to run the timer. What I'm looking for here is first initial reaction, try not to think, answer as quick as you can. Some are really crazy. Nope, that's all the hints you get. You'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right.
Are you ready? Shane,
you got the waiver. Ready? I'm ready.
I feel so weird calling you Shane. I don't.
It's weird.
It's Swags to me. It's always going to be Swags. All right. You got the sexy voice? You did it, Shane? You did it. All right.
And now, your 2-minute breakdown.
All right. The red carpet's rolled out. What music do you come out to?
I'm sorry. Anything Rage Against the Machine.
Ooh, I love
it. Very nice. You can always pass and we'll come back to it. How much money worth of alcohol did the Golden State Warriors have in their parade buses?
500,000.
That is exactly the fucking amount.
I know, I read that.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You cheated.
I read. I read it earlier today. I just remembered it.
Keep trade cut. Beer, wine, or liquor?
Cut beer. And I will trade liquor, keep wine.
Keep wine. This year, full PPR. Deshaun Hamilton or Cortland Sutton? Going a little deep here on Broncos wide receivers.
Cortland Sutton.
That's the wrong answer, but nice. Has CJ Anderson hate gone too far?
Yes.
Perfect. How long do ants sleep? Ants.
4 hours.
Never, but close.
Never.
Who will lead the Panthers in targets? Yeah, you know they're tired as shit. Who will lead the Panthers in targets?
Greg Olson.
Whoa. How many cows will it take to supply the NFL with footballs for the 2018 season?
32.
Fucking 3,000 cows have to die. Is it?
They'll use the meat for other stuff too.
Yeah, tell me they use meat. Bones.
Just throw it away. Is it Ice Ice Baby or Can't Touch This?
Ice Ice Baby.
Who will lead rookie wide receivers in yards this year?
Michael Gallup.
Yeah, we kind of give that one to you. I hate you for this one. How fast do farts come out of your butt?
Ooh, 5 miles per hour?
7, close. But really close.
Oh, that was close.
Last but not least, wide receivers or running backs, which should you prefer? Just as blanket as that is.
Running backs. They can do it all.
Nice, I like it. And I like their floor. I love a running back's floor.
Damn, oh, and
we got it. Hey. Holy shit.
So this is episode 78, and I think you're the first person to ever get it in time.
She crushed it.
And we him and I do it like every week.
I do like to say, I think this is more on the question asker than it is the answer to make sure we get through it all. So you're welcome, but great job.
Yeah, you know, you did a great job.
He sucks. He sucks when he asks them to me or other people.
Well, thank you. You must
practice these a few times. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, it was very good.
Brandon, thanks a ton for coming on. Tons of fun.
For sure.
Tell them about yourself and, man, hope to see you around a lot.
Yeah, please. So I do radio for SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, and we are going to be at the Fantasy Sports Trade Association next week. Mm-hmm. I will actually be hosting the Experts Draft live with John Hansen and Jeff Manns, and I think David Kitchen too. And so you definitely want to tune in for that. I'm actually taking the place of my sister Ashley because she won her league for the SiriusXM league. I did not win mine. I got beat. I was second place. So I'm replacing her because she is pregnant and having a baby in the middle of September. She's still gonna set her lineups though. My other sister Courtney set that standard, so you got to keep it together. Baby making is not an excuse. And so I will be doing that. I do videos and
it's the only time I don't play fantasy football is when I'm baby making.
Yeah.
He's still checking the wire.
Come on. Every once in a while. I also do videos and fantasy analysis for Fantasy Alarm, which you can check out at fantasyalarm.com. And I also am the co-founder with my two actual sisters. People always ask that. They think that we're just like sisters, like friends. And I'm like, why would we say that? But they're my real sisters. It's just weird. We do Her Fantasy Football and have for quite a few seasons now. And you can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Her FFB, as in Her Fantasy Football. And I'll be putting out little nuggets. Really, I kind of consider FSTA as like the big kickoff for football season because it's kind of the big first draft that's on the radio and what have you. And so now it's just it's D-Day. It's time.
You guys have the best logo, by the way. I love your logo.
For sure.
It's like this.
My sister Ashley created it. She used to be a designer.
Well done to her.
Yeah.
It's weird though, because it's kind of subliminal. Because my wife isn't into fantasy football, so you see these sexy lips, and then they're zipped up, and I think, well, that's what I need her to do when I'm playing fantasy football. But that's probably not what you were going for.
No.
They were the ladies. Let her play with you.
My wife is awesome, though, honestly. My wife is completely supportive, nice. But it did kind of make me think, well, that's kind of weird because the lips are zipped up. So, but it's awesome.
It's the football grip.
I know.
We almost got through the whole show.
I can tell it's a football. I didn't swear once. I mean, how many he did here?
I did. I said fuck a bunch, I think. But seriously, that's a great Twitter account. Please go follow her. It's a great podcast. When you said you're doing that XM show live, when is that? Because this will be out soon. We'll make Shane do it fast.
Yeah, that'll be on Tuesday night, I believe, at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome.
It might be 7 p.m. Central. We're in Minneapolis. We're actually going to be drafting from the stadium there. So,
oh, are you one of the 50 crazy people shacking up with Scott Fish? I feel like he's got everybody staying at his house, he said.
Oh, no. Maybe I'll call him, though. I'll be like, hey, I'm coming on over. No, I'm not. I actually moved to New York. I live in New York City. I moved to New York City from Minneapolis. I went to the University of Minnesota. So I'm going back and I'm seeing some friends. I'm going a day early, leaving a day late. And I'm a Golden Gopher.
So. Okay, that's awesome. I literally just left St. Paul. That's where my dad was. I spent a couple days up there. So crazy.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's beautiful in the summer. Winter. But, yeah.
Yeah, y'all can keep that. So, again, thanks for coming on. Maybe we can do this again sometime in the future. That was awesome.
Thank you so much.
Later. Yeah.